നമസ്കാരം. ന്യൂസിലൻഡിലെ നമ്മുടെ മലയാളം എഫ് എം പ്രോഗ്രാം എഫ് എം ഫ്രീക്വൻസി 104.6 ഇന്നത്തെ പരിപാടികൾ ആരംഭിക്കുന്നു. ഇന്നാദ്യം കണക്ട്, മലയാളം എഫ് എമ്മിന്റെ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് ഇന്റർവ്യൂ. തുടർന്ന് നോ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് നോ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് വിത്ത് ഹോസ്റ്റ് റോജി വർഗീസ്. ഈ പരിപാടി നിങ്ങൾക്കായി അവതരിപ്പിക്കുന്നത് കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, മൈൻഡ് ട്രീ നഴ്സിംഗ് സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, ക്ലസ്റ്റർ ഔട്ട്ഫിറ്റ്സ് ബ്ലോക്ക് ഹൌസ് ബേ, സെഹിയോൺ ടൂർസ് ആൻഡ് ട്രാവൽസ്, ആതിര ഗണേഷ്, നെസ്റ്റ ഇമിഗ്രേഷൻ സർവീസസ്.
നിങ്ങൾക്ക് അനുയോജ്യമായ ഹോം ലോൺ, ഫസ്റ്റ് ഹോം, ഇൻവെസ്റ്റ്മെന്റ്, റീഫിനാൻസ്, റീഫിക്സ്, കൺസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ലോൺ, കൊമേഴ്ഷ്യൽ ലോൺ, കാർ ലോൺ എന്നിവയ്ക്ക് നിങ്ങളുടെ വിശ്വസ്ത സാമ്പത്തിക ഉപദേഷ്ടാക്കൾ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്. 0800-574-722. വിശ്വസിക്കാം, വിദഗ്ധരെ.
നിങ്ങളുടെ എല്ലാ യാത്രാ ആവശ്യങ്ങൾക്കും ഹോളിഡേ ബുക്കിംഗ്സിനും വ്യക്തിഗത സഹായം ആസ്വദിക്കൂ. കോൺടാക്ട് സെഹിയോൺ ടൂർസ് ആൻഡ് ട്രാവൽസ്. ഫോൺ നമ്പർ 0921-84000. ഓരോ യാത്രയും ഒരു അനുഗ്രഹമാണ്. സെഹിയോൺ ടൂർസ് ആൻഡ് ട്രാവൽസ്.
ന്യൂസിലൻഡിലോ ഓസ്ട്രേലിയയിലോ നേസ്യൂലി എന്ന സ്വപ്നം യാഥാർത്ഥ്യമാക്കാൻ മൈൻഡ് ട്രീ നഴ്സിംഗ് സൊല്യൂഷൻസ് IQN ഓസ്കെ പരീക്ഷകൾക്ക് ഫേസ് ടു ഫേസ് ട്രെയിനിങ്ങും വിദഗ്ധ മാർഗനിർദ്ദേശവും നൽകി നിങ്ങളുടെ സ്വപ്നം ഞങ്ങൾ നിറവേറ്റുന്നു. മൈൻഡ് ട്രീ നഴ്സിംഗ് സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, ഇന്ത്യ, ന്യൂസിലൻഡ് ആൻഡ് ഓസ്ട്രേലിയ.
ഇന്ത്യൻ വസ്ത്രങ്ങളും സമ്പന്നമായ കേരള പാരമ്പര്യത്തിന്റെ കുത്തുമ്പുള്ളി വസ്ത്രങ്ങളും നേരിട്ട് തിരഞ്ഞെടുക്കാം. താങ്ങാനാവുന്ന വിലകളിൽ സമാനതകളില്ലാത്ത ഗുണനിലവാരത്തോടെ ഉയരട്ടെ നിങ്ങളുടെ സ്റ്റൈൽ ക്ലസ്റ്റർ ഔട്ട്ഫിറ്റ്സിനൊപ്പം.
അല്ല, വിസ കാര്യങ്ങളൊക്കെ സോർട്ട് ഔട്ട് ചെയ്തോ?
ഇല്ല, ഞാൻ ആകെ കൺഫ്യൂസ്ഡ്.
എന്തിന്? നമ്മുടെ സ്വന്തം മലയാളി ഇമിഗ്രേഷൻ അഡ്വൈസർ ആതിര ഗണേഷിനെ വിളിക്കൂ. സ്റ്റുഡന്റ് വിസ മുതൽ റെസിഡൻസി വരെ എല്ലാം ഈസി ആയി ചെയ്തുതരും. 0223684349 നെസ്റ്റ ഇമിഗ്രേഷൻ സർവീസസ്. നെസ്റ്റ ബെസ്റ്റ.
ഇപ്പോൾ കണക്ട്. ന്യൂസിലൻഡ് ക്രിക്കറ്റ് ടീമിന്റെ മുൻ ക്യാപ്റ്റനും IPL ക്രിക്കറ്റിൽ കൊൽക്കത്ത നൈറ്റ് റൈഡേഴ്സിന്റെ ബൌളിംഗ് കോച്ചുമായിരുന്ന കൈൽ മിൽസുമായുള്ള അഭിമുഖ സംഭാഷണം.
Today we are joined by one of New Zealand's finest fast bowlers, Kyle Mills. Let's welcome Kyle to our show. Welcome to our show, Kyle.
Thank you for the invite and having me.
I would like to ask, how was your experience when you were bowling against Sachin Tendulkar?
Straight to the top, eh, Sachin? By the time I started playing international cricket, Sachin had been around for some time. So he was also a player that I looked up to and was inspired by, I guess, because he played out here as a young fella in the 1992 Cricket World Cup when it was played in here in Australia and New Zealand. And so I would have been about 13 at that time, and Sachin was this new kid on the block, and obviously he hit the international stage with a storm, really. One, for being a very good batter, and two, for being so young. It's almost unheard of. And so by the time I started playing international cricket, he was certainly well established as a phenomenal player with a record which was daunting to look at. And then as a young bowler, when I finally got the opportunity to play against Sachin was awesome, because as any sports person, I think you want to play against the very, very best.
Yeah.
And playing against Sachin was, the heart rate increases a little bit.
Yeah.
especially over in India.
Yeah.
I've never been to a place before with so much noise, but when Sachin walks to the crease, it amplifies even more. Mm. But I happened to get him out one time and I think it was Pune and LBW, and it's the first time I had got Sachin out. It's
silence, you can hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
And he walked off, and obviously we were ecstatic that we didn't have to bowl to Sachin again. But yeah, he just commands respect all over the show, and I was very fortunate enough to play with him as well with the Mumbai Indians.
Mm.
In the second year of the IPL, he was the captain and I was in the squad, and then got to meet Sachin more on a personal level, which was even better. And to sit down and hear his stories and about his childhood and how the challenges that he had and how he went about playing cricket was awesome.
Oh, great. Still you keeping connection with Sachin or?
Oh, look, every time I bump into Sachin, which is pretty hard to these days when I live in the city here in Auckland, and he's obviously over in Mumbai, but when we do cross paths, we always have a good catch up. I saw him, last time I saw Sachin, it would have been about 2 years ago in India.
Oh, nice.
We played in like a Masters Cricket League against each other, and always good to connect with him again, and such a little guy. He's so small, Sachin.
Compared to your height.
Compared to New Zealanders tend to be quite big, but quite a little guy and softly spoken.
Yeah.
But commands so much respect. And
absolutely.
Every word is listened to. You know, it's normally the biggest person, the loudest person, you know, that commands a room. But Sachin's the opposite to all of that, yet commands the room just like that. He's lovely company to be around.
And Kyle, you started your cricket career 1998 onwards, and you've played 3 World Cups, 2003, 2011, and 2015. Do you have some experience to share with our listeners?
Well, actually, the World Cup, the 50-over World Cup you're talking about,
yeah,
personally was a real curse for me. So if you take a deep dive into it, I went to the 2003 Cricket World Cup in South Africa as a young kid. God, I don't know, 22, 23, I guess. I played one game. So I was the junior guy on the team. Lots of other players were ahead of me. So I carried the drinks. Played one game against Bangladesh, got a couple of wickets, and that was my lot. My expectation, obviously, going over there was to play, but I realised I was a younger player to force my way in. We should have made the semi-final, but there were some political tensions. We didn't go to Kenya, so we lost games, lost points, and Kenya actually ended up making the semi-final at that that event in South Africa. Post that, I really got into my groove and became one of the leaders in the group for the New Zealand side. And then the next World Cup was 2007. I had to pull out. I had knee surgery.
Mm.
I was carrying this knee injury for some time leading into it, and it just got to a point where enough was enough. I saw myself on the big screen limping. I was like, oh, God, you can't fake this anymore. So I didn't go to the 2007 World Cup. And then the next one was 2011 in India.
Yeah.
Went over there. Weekend, I put my back out. And so then I missed games at the start. And then I played games in the middle, got into my groove, doing well, and then I tore my groin muscle.
Mm.
And I tore my groin in a pool game, then missed a couple of games, tried to get back for the semi-final against South Africa, but I couldn't. Quarter-final against South Africa. And so I came home just before the semi-final.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between those times, those World Cups, I was playing really well.
Mm.
And then got back from that injury, started to play really well again, and got to the 2015 World Cup here in New Zealand. And by this stage, I was the older group, the older person in the team. These young guys were coming through, Trent Bolt, Matt Henry and Tim Southee and Adam Milne. And I ended up carrying the drinks the whole World Cup. So the World Cup was actually a really curse for me, but in between those World Cups was the Champions Trophy, which we've just had recently, which is a big event, and I was really successful in all those Champions Trophies. For some reason, every time a World Cup came around, the body kind of packed it in.
Okay. Mm. So, listening to you, Kyle, it feels like you had a very fair share of injuries during your career. I believe you were quite resilient on that side.
There were certainly many downtimes, for sure. I think I had about 6 surgeries on my body. And then I also had, add in all the, you know, muscle tears and strains, all that sort of stuff, which is like a rehab process. But my biggest injury is always my back. I had a disc herniation in my back, so I could be quite fine, but then I'd go pick up a bottle of water or do my shoelace and my back would just go, disc would go out onto my sciatic nerve and I'd be out for a week, couldn't go back or forward and just back's in spasm, but it'll settle down after 7 to 10 days. I'll be back into it, but it could go just like that with no reason, rhyme or reason, and that would happen to me about 3 or 4 times a year. And so that was the way in injury that always just niggled at me because it was just constantly there. But with the surgeries, yeah, there's a lot of factors there. One, you you lose your place in the team.
Mm.
And give someone else an opportunity.
Yeah, because you're taking a break in between.
Taking a break, and that provides opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's what sport is, really. Everyone gets their opportunity at some stage. It's whether you take it or not. And so that was always hard. And then you don't know if you're ever going to come back.
Yeah.
To like you were. And so it takes a lot of resilience to push through the rehab, to get your body strong and fit again, and try and get into a place where it once was, which is never the case.
Yeah.
A lot of, if I look back on my career, I'm proud of lots of things, disappointed with some things, but proud of lots of things. But one of the biggest things I'm proud of is actually coming back from so many injuries, because it shows a lot of character to do so and get myself back into the team. And there's one thing getting back into the team, but there's getting back into the team and contributing and performing.
Yeah.
So to be able to do that on, not one-offs, but many a time is possibly, I think, probably the thing I'm most proud of.
Talking about your retirement, I can see you have retired at the peak of your career, I would say. Why I'm asking is if you heard about the rumors about Dhoni in India. He's in his mid-40s, still kind of reluctant to, go out of the field. Do you have any comments for Dhoni?
Look, retiring's hard because it's, when it comes to cricket, and I'm sure not just Dhoni, but every cricketer across the world's like this. We're all young kids, all playing backyard cricket, watching lots of cricket, loving the game, being around our mates, and for something about cricket, people just really gravitate towards it, and you want to represent your country, and that's all you've known. So you go through school, and then you leave school, then all your mates, you're off into university degrees or going into the workforce, and you're deciding to take this cricket path because you want to live your dream of playing for your country. And once you get to do that, and not just a one-off, but you build a career around it, it's hard to let go. One thing is that the sport, being in a team environment, which is I love, and it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle you get used to as well, and then it's kind of a hard thing to let go.
So
I can only speak for myself personally, and I had young kids at the time when I retired, around 35, and I wasn't as good as I was. I was getting frustrated about that, and this new wave of talent was coming through. So my time was up.
That was your call. Felt like my time is up.
My time was up. Like, I didn't like carrying the drinks at that World Cup in 2015. I'm a player, and I had no reason not to play. I was still performing, but these young guys came along, and they were good. So it's time to cash my chips in and move into another direction, which is it's a hard thing to do. All my close friends from my school days, they, went to university, went and got, corporate jobs, started off at the bottom of the ladder and worked their way up the corporate ladder. Then I was at cricket, about to leave my cricketing career, and mid-30s, I'm like, I don't want to start at the bottom in the corporate world.
Absolutely.
All your friends have sort of got big positions.
Senior level, yeah.
Correct, yeah. And they've kind of built these amazing careers for themselves. And I was like, I'm not doing starting at the bottom for 15 years. And so it's a really challenging time. It really is. But I still had, mortgage and kids to take care of, whereas it's a little bit different for Dhoni. I'm pretty confident he doesn't have a mortgage. So over in India is a lot different, where you play for that national side and you become a superstar in that cricketing field. You're kind of taken care of for life in that part of the world. That's not the case here in New Zealand.
Yeah.
not at all. So why Dhoni's still playing, I'm not sure. Look, he's not playing a lot. He's just doing the IPL once a year, and that's maybe great for him. It's a 2-month competition. He's probably got 2 months preparing for it, and the rest of the time, if he keeps his body in good condition, I think he's, he looks after himself clearly. He's still performing.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself at the end of the day, if you're still performing, I think people must understand, it's also, I would think, in Dhoni's position, it's not just the performing on the field. Yes, that's what everyone looks at, and I'm sure MS Dhoni looks at that as well, but his contributions off the field.
Yeah.
And that's the people and the stuff don't see. And then that's the gold. That's the important stuff. You got Dhoni at a training session or in the changing room or back at the hotel having a coffee with some of the younger lads talking about, you know, his experiences, his challenges, what went well, what didn't went well, and the guidance he is giving those younger people.
Yeah.
That's the magic. That's the good stuff. Yet the public are probably looking at Dhoni's performances on the field and judging him on that. Yes, of course, we're all accountable. We're all have to be judged on our performances because at the end of the day, that's what comes to winning or losing. But there's a lot of good stuff going on in the background,
absolutely,
which is really important.
We can also see you have associated with India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, all those teams. When you were coaching for Kolkata Knight Riders, how was your experience being in coaching Dognut compared to your experience on the field?
Look, I loved coaching in the IPL. I really did. It's you feel alive. There's a lot of pressure. So you look at it from a normal cricketing team's perspective, the New Zealand cricket team, it's 12 months a year. You work towards something. You can blood players in for certain series. For instance, we've had Pakistan here recently. You can see there are young players who are introduced into that environment to get a feel for it. The coaches and selectors are seeing if they can handle that environment, handle the pressure of an international match.
Yeah.
Whereas the IPL, it's 8 weeks of cricket.
Yeah.
And you're judged on those 8 weeks. And either success or failure. Mm. There's only two things.
Yeah.
And over there, you only judge by success by winning it.
Mm.
And in the fact, you've got some high, you've got some powerful owners of those teams.
Mm.
Like big time owners of Bollywood actors, businessmen.
High level of competition.
Yeah. But the businessmen over there who own these teams, they're successful people. They only deal in success. And so when it comes to business, they find a way to be successful, you know?
At any cost, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now you translate that to cricket, sport. Call it, not even cricket, call it sport. In sport, we touched on it before, you don't know what's going to happen. It's theatre. You can lose.
Yeah.
Someone can drop a catch. Someone can get out. Now, cricketers, we understand that. The owners of the team, well, they don't lose. So I think it's a challenge for some of the owners over there to understand. I think they're getting around it now because some of those owners have been around since the inception of the IPL.
Yeah.
But I've been in some environments in the IPL where losing was a really uncomfortable environment to be around, and you sensed people weren't happy with the loss.
Yeah.
But that's sport. So then going into that environment from a coaching perspective, I felt that a little bit, like the importance of winning. And I did like it. I liked the very short space of time of the, it's about 7 weeks of playing, a bit of preparation time, but you're there, you are trying to build a team as fast as you possibly can. Now, that's easy for me to do here in New Zealand. I know the New Zealand culture. I know what ticks the boxes for people here. I know how we function. I know how we go about our training. In the IPL, you've got West Indian boys, you got Australian boys, you got English boys, New Zealand, South African. They're all different cultures.
Yeah.
They all do things differently. No one's right or wrong. It's just different ways of
doing things. Yeah.
And then you've got your senior Indian players. Now, they're superstars. They're on every second ad on television. They're on billboards everywhere you go.
Very popular.
And lovely guys. And I have respect for those guys. They feel playing for the Indian cricket team would be a very pressurised environment. So you've got those guys in the group. Then you've got your young Indian boys who are the young kids who finally get an opportunity to be in the IPL, and they just want to train the house down. They want to prove a point. They want to make their families proud, their villages. They want to give back to their family environment and their villages. And so they're just desperate. Okay, so you've got this melting pot of different attitudes, different wants and needs. And then you've got a coaching staff who were over there with Brendan McCullum, who's one of the best coaches in the world, who want to play a style of cricket. So our style for that time was to be quite aggressive. Now, you got some players who are prepared to be aggressive because they feel safe in team selection. They feel safe in there where their career's at. But then you've also got some local boys, they just want to get a score.
Yeah.
We want them to play a certain way, whereas if you get out, that's okay. We don't care, but we need you to hit certain points in your batting innings or your bowling strategy. We need you to bowl like this or bat like this for the team game plan for us to win. But then they've got sort of that individual mindset, I just want to get a contract next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a difference. And so it was really challenging to get everyone to buy into the team game plan because we believed in our game plan and it worked. We made the final and just missed out in the final. But to get everyone to buy into that is hard. But that's the challenging part I enjoyed most, to be honest, because it was different from my cricketing culture here in New Zealand and how we go about it, to which I've touched on before. New Zealand's a very team orientated environment.
Yeah,
you go out of your way every day at training to do something for one of your teammates. It's the culture.
Yeah,
to suddenly be in that environment where people are looking out for themselves because they just want to get a contract for next year, and this is their one opportunity, and they want to, you know. So you've got all these different dynamics at play, which is fascinating. And you also got people at different stages in their career. You got older people who've been there, done that. They know the deal. Guys who are trying
it's
to
more in.
Yeah, so yeah. It's just melting. And then you add in the pressure to win.
Yeah,
there's a lot of money out for grabs for the investors in these teams. Yeah, big money. Sponsors want performance as well.
Return on investment. Yeah,
and there's sponsorship bonuses if you make the playoffs or the final. So you got, you know, those team owners and CEOs and the management really want us to progress so they can get the extra bonuses from the sponsors and stuff. So there's all these things going on. I loved it.
Yeah,
when we were winning, it's great. When we had a couple of losses, like, oh, I feel this.
Yeah,
we need to turn this around pretty quick.
Yeah,
and it's not like an international season. You got 12 months where you can sort of ride those. This one, you need to find results straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah. Sounds like you've got a great insights about the Indian team players and the Black Caps players. Like to ask, have you picked up any favorite dishes other than the butter chicken served in your room?
Look, I'm very friendly with Irfan Pathan. For some reason, we gravitated to each other early on in our careers, and we played together at King's Lemon Punjab. And then a few years after that, we had a tour of India, and we were in Baroda.
Baroda.
And he's from Baroda. And he said, I can't remember the name of the hotel. We were at the hotel, and he said, Mum's cooked you a special meal. So nice. And then next minute, at the hotel came all these dishes from his mum's home. She cooked it. I was like, oh my God, there's so much food here. And I couldn't even name the dishes, but I got a few of the teammates along, and we got stuck into it. It was beautiful food. And then it was funny, I called Irfan that night. I said, what do you want me to do with all the
food?
all these bowls and stuff. It was like, there's bowls everywhere. He goes, just bring them to the airport. It's like, we're flying the next day to another city. I was like, bring them to the airport.
We should have carried it along.
So I went to the airport the next day with all these big, you know, dishes and bowls and all sorts. I said, here you go. But he'd organised, I think, one of his family members to come and stuff. But no, I love Indian food.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. So I'm okay. One of my favourite restaurants is just up the road here, the Heritage in Kingsland.
Heritage.
Big plug to the Heritage in Kingsland. I love that food, the food there.
Any specific?
The Lucknow chicken. Lucknow Malai.
Chicken.
Yeah, oh God, I love it. And I think my Achilles heel in life is naan bread, butter naan. I just
love it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I just love that stuff. Our fitness trainer on the tours to India was pretty strict. He was okay for us to have, obviously, the rice and whatever curry we decided, but you couldn't have rice and naan bread. He said you have to have one.
No, you can only have one. Yeah.
Yeah, only one. So you either go for the curry and the naan.
Yeah.
Or the curry and the rice.
Yeah.
But I didn't listen to him. I had both. I just had two.
At least you got the equation right, yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
And thanks for sharing all your memories and being honest and with all the loves. Yep. And we wish you all success for whatever is next to you. Wish you good luck. Thank you so much again.
Thanks for having me.
മലയാളം എഫ്എമ്മിൽ നിങ്ങൾ ഇതുവരെ കേട്ടത് ന്യൂസിലൻഡ് ക്രിക്കറ്റ് ടീമിന്റെ മുൻ ക്യാപ്റ്റനും IPL ക്രിക്കറ്റിൽ കൽക്കട്ട നൈറ്റ് റൈഡേഴ്സിന്റെ ബൌളിംഗ് കോച്ചുമായിരുന്ന കൈൽ മിൽസുമായുള്ള അഭിമുഖ സംഭാഷണം. ഇനി നോ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് നോ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് വിത്ത് റോജി വർഗീസ്.
നമസ്കാരം and welcome to a new episode of Malayalam FM 104.6's No English, No English with your host Roji Varghese. നമ്മുടെ ആദ്യത്തെ എപ്പിസോഡിൽ വി സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ഇന്ത്യൻ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ്. അതിന്റെ പ്രസൻസ് എങ്ങനെയാണ് നമ്മുടെ ലാംഗ്വേജിൽ കാണുന്നത്? ഹൗ ഡു വി അക്നോളജ് ഇറ്റ്? ആൻഡ് ഓഫ് കോഴ്സ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ്, ഹൗ ഡു വി നാവിഗേറ്റ് ത്രൂ സിനാരിയോസ് ലൈക്ക് എൻ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് പ്രൊഫിഷ്യൻസി എക്സാം വെൻ യു ആർ അവെയർ ഓഫ് ഹിസ് പ്രസൻസ്. രണ്ടാമത് വി ലുക്ക്ഡ് അറ്റ് ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ ആസ് എൻ ഇഫക്റ്റീവ് ടൂൾ. വി ലുക്ക്ഡ് അറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ആസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ക്വിന്റസെൻഷ്യൽ പ്രസൻസ് ഇൻ ആർ ലാംഗ്വേജ് ജേർണി. And more importantly, how to use it as an effective tool in building our language capabilities. If you've been watching this series, you would have heard that I have recommended the use of keeping an audio diary. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and trust that you have been doing so. But if you are, you may have confronted a problem that most second language or multilingual speakers may have confronted. Ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the topic of our third episode, pronunciation. മലയാളത്തിൽ പറഞ്ഞാൽ ഉച്ചാരണം. If you are an individual that's been thinking about this, or if this has been an obstacle in part of your language journey, as a part of your language journey, you have come upon the right episode. Let's start. Most of the time, we make our mistakes during connected speech. What connected speech means is that we do not tend to use words in isolation 98% of the time, unless you're listing something. But if you aren't, it's always in connected speech. And during this time, mispronouncing a word tends to be misunderstanding. Think of the scenario where you're in a meeting, you're giving a speech, you're talking to a large crowd, you're giving a toast in a party. Everybody's eyes is on you. Now, in this scenario, if you mispronounce a word, that leads to misunderstanding and it brings your credibility down and your confidence. That's not a very good situation to be in. Why does this happen to speakers of the Malayalam language or even Indian languages, some of them? And I'll tell you why. Malayalam and most Indian languages are phonetic, which means when you learn how to sound each letter, it would be easy for you, well, comparatively easy for you, to put them together when you come upon a new word. Just put those sounds together, read them slowly, and you'll eventually get it. And that's wonderful. It becomes easy when you come upon a new word. You'll be able to pronounce it. The diction becomes good. You may not know the meaning of the word, but you'll be able to pronounce it. It does not happen in English. English is not a phonetic language. We can't depend on the spelling. It means most of the time the spelling throws you away. Just makes you confused. Some letters are silent. You have to stress on certain parts of the word. So many ways in which, or so many deliberations when it comes to pronouncing a word. How do we tackle them? I'll give you some methods. The first part of what we do is that I'm going to make you aware of the general confusions we Malayalis have, especially with certain sounds. Now, of course, some of these problems may not be only for Malayalam speakers, maybe for Indian speakers in total, but I'm just, of course, we'll look at some of the general confusions we have with certain sounds. First one is V and W. V and W. It's the V sound and the W one. The reason I don't use the V, the V or the W, is that when you use phonetic script, the IPA, and those are the squiggly lines that you find beside the word in a dictionary, when you learn how to read them, I will be putting a site or a link down below this video that has the phonetic chart, the IPA chart, that will allow you to understand those squiggly lines and that language. But let's get back. Anyway, V and W. V is a labiodental fricative. Now, what that means is that it's a sound that's made with the help of lips and your teeth, not by just rolling your lips. Lips and your teeth. You take your bottom lip, place it on the top part, and then feel a buzz as your lip touches your teeth. V, V. So you have very, vase, vine, veal, this is the type of meat. So it's a V. Now, when you roll your lips, W, W, that's how you make the W sound. Now, that is comparatively easy for us. Why do Malayalam speakers have this, or why do we have this problem? It's because we don't have a sound that is equivalent to the V and the W. We have a sound that's somewhere in between. For Vellam or Varkala, we have a sound that's somewhere in between. So it's our muscle memory that we have to train. Remember, language is not a genetic gift. It's a social gift, and you can work towards it. It's just muscle memory. The problem in mispronouncing this one letter in certain words is all right. But there are words that have different meanings. For example, vet, as in the veterinarian doctor, the animal doctor, and wet. When water is thrown on you, or you have water on you, you're wet. One is vet, the other one is wet. Think about vine, as in places where grapes are grown, and think about wine. That's the alcohol or the spirit that's made out of grapes. When you think of these words in that manner, very and wary, very as a modifier, and intensifier, and wary as in doubt, suspicious, not very sure. V-E-R-Y and W-A-R-Y. So that is how we need to practice. One is a V and the other one is a W. Towards the end of this particular episode, I'll definitely give you some links to tongue twisters and ways in which we can practice, ways in which we can distinguish these sounds as we speak. V and W. The next one is S and Z. S as in sip, you're sipping some tea, and Z as in zip it up. It's easy for us speakers to distinguish or recognize how to pronounce the word when we see the letter S or S and we see the letter Z. Now, how about in words like W-A-S, H-A-S? I've heard a lot of speakers use the word was. It's not was, it's was. Z. Has, has. Confuse. Confuse. Vase, as in flower vase. V-A-S-E. Flower vase. Now, This can only happen when you deliberately take the opportunity and learn what is that particular word. There are no patterns. If you do, do tell me. So, S and Z. Now remember, does that really change the meaning of the word? Well, think of the word zone. Zone. As in cycle zone. Or a path zone. Then saying zone. Well, that really doesn't change the meaning as much, especially in connected speech, but people are going to notice, and like I said before, brings down your credibility and confidence. T, th, th. Now in Indian languages, in Malayalam especially, we have the T sound, you have the T sound, and you have the T sound, as in T, as in kuti. And you have the T sound, as in tata. And then you have the T, as in patan, the ta, ta. Right? So, I'm not going to talk much about the T, because it's a retroflexive sound. You bend your tongue. And English does not have the T sound at all. So let's not even think about that sound. It does not have it. There is no T in English. So we do not say tomato. We say tomato. T. You revert. You don't even revert. You use the T sound. T. It's the other two sounds. Th and the that I want to talk about, because those sounds are not there in any of the Indian languages. The voiced the. That particular one comes in words like that, this, those, father, mother, brother. And the voiceless ones. Think, thin, thought, throw, bath, and teeth. Just giving you some examples there. What is a voiced and a voiceless sound? When you look at the IPA chart that I have given you the link, and when you click on it, a voice sound is a sound that requires a buzz. Keep your fingers here and say that, this, those, father, mother, brother. That's a voice sound. A voiceless one is think, thin, thought, throw, bath, and teeth. How do we make any of these sounds? Place your tongue between your teeth. Let the tip of your tongue slowly jut out, just a little bit, just a bit. Th, 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 and that's the voiceless, th. When you feel the buzz, that's the, the, the. Previously, when I spoke about the V sound is also voiced because you've got that buzz, V. It's an easy way to identify what sounds require the buzz and what sounds do not. Minor nuances, I believe, that will allow to improve the clarity of your pronunciation. So, voiced and voiceless, th and the. So we've talked about the v and w, s and z, t, th and the. The next part is about dropping consonants at the end of certain words, and sometimes acknowledging the presence of a consonant at the end of certain words. Obviously, there are no patterns here, but I can give you some words that we tend to use. Some in connected speech, obviously. Good boy. Good boy. It's not good boy. The D is slightly acknowledged. Good boy. Look at these words. Friendship. It's not friendship. Friendship. Next day. So next day, we say next day. Old man. It's not old man, it's old man. Depending on what you want to say, you can stress on any word you want, as long as it renders the meaning that you want to. But most of the time, during small talk, we don't enunciate or press on every single sound. But in certain words, we do. This has no pattern per se. It's something that we need to acquire, listen, and sort of get into the habit of doing things. So remember, be aware of when to drop the consonant and when to actually acknowledge its presence. All right. Finally, the last one that I have here is words that end in ED have two ways in which it is pronounced at the end of the word. One is the D, so make three. One is the D sound, like dog D. One is the T sound, the T. And the last one is the ID sound. They all, most words that end in ED have three different pronunciations. Now, when I say words that end in ED, it's a morpheme, which means it's an addition. So you have a base word, and you add ED to it. Depending on the base word, we can find out there's a pattern in which we can know, all right, it ends with the D sound, the T sound, the ID sound. Let's go with the most easiest. If the word ends in D or T, then it's an ID sound. For example, need has a D sound at the end, therefore it's needed. It's not needed, it's needed. ID, needed. If you have want, wanted. So if it ends the word in T, want, the last letter is T, you have wanted. So words that end in T or D, if you add an ED to it, it's an ID sound. Wanted, needed. It is not wanted, it is wanted. We don't add the A sound in there. It's E. Wanted, needed. Now, remember I told you about the voiced and the voiceless? This is where we use it again. If the base word ends in a voiced consonant, or sorry, a voiced sound, mostly consonants, of course, if it ends in a voiced sound, we use the D. D. Not the T, the D. For example, clean. N. Clean, voiced. N. N. See the buzz? N. You can feel it buzz here. N. Clean becomes cleaned. Call becomes called. So any voiced sound ends in a D. Or most of the voiced sounds ends in a D. If it's voiceless, like P, K, F, S, if it's voiceless, it ends in a T. Walk becomes walked. Laugh becomes laughed. Miss becomes missed. That's a good pattern there, don't you feel so? A voiceless becomes a T, a voiced becomes a D. That way, you can now figure out how to end or find out the pronunciation of that particular ending. We spoke about four aspects here. We're coming to the last bit, which is the most important in the way I view it. Is where do you stress, which part of a word do you stress to get the right pronunciation? And when you stress, what happens to the rest of the word? In English, there's something known as the reduced vowel. It's called the sh sound. Banana. Banana. See? Banana. Think of a word like photo. All the sounds in all its quality is being pronounced. In its full form, photo, photo. Then we look at photograph. Again, fine. But then photography, photography. Look at that, photography. Reduced vowel, photography. When you stress in certain parts of a word, the other part reduces its quality, and therefore it's photography. Photographer. Contribution. Contribute. Contribution. The stress of a word is a very funny thing because it changes the meaning of a word. Also, it's part of speech. Words that have similar spelling when used as a noun and a verb have different pronunciation. Think of the word P-R-O-D-U-C-E. Read the word P-R-O-D-U-C-E. Produce as a noun, and produce as a verb. Now, we know the meaning of produce as a verb is to make. Produce is a noun. It's a name for fruits and vegetables, and you would find that in supermarkets. Produce and produce. There's so many words in the English language that have similar spelling and the way in which you, whether it's a noun or a verb, it changes. If you stress on the final part of the word, produce, it becomes a verb. If you enunciate or stress on the first syllable of the word, it becomes a noun. But this is a pattern that only is found in words that have similar spelling, noun and a verb. Again, it's not 100% of the English language. It's a pattern. And that's all we can do is recognize a pattern. So to give you a summary on this part, on the challenges and the limitations that we're aware of. First, we spoke about the confusion that we have between V and W. The second part, we looked at S and Z. Then we looked at two sounds, or three sounds that are there in English, but two of them are not there in the Indian languages, which is Th and the, and obviously we spoke about t. Then we spoke about ed, as in words that end in ed. How do we recognize whether it ends in the d sound, the t sound, and the id sound? We looked at how words where we need to drop the consonant in certain connected in certain words put together. We looked at how we have to acknowledge the presence, the end of certain consonants between certain words. And the last one is where to stress. What are some tips or tricks or patterns? I know I did mention some, but let me mention a bit more than that. Now, I did tell you about the voiced and the voiceless. That's a good one. The other one is words that end in I-T-Y, T-I-O-N, we stress the previous syllable. Contribution. Education, credibility. Words that in I-T-Y and T-I-O-N stress the previous syllable or the previous sound. You do not know how to find the syllable, you find it difficult, no problem. Towards the end of this particular episode, I'm going to give you some websites and I'll also tell you how to find it out. But this is just for you to be aware, stress on the previous syllable and not on the first syllable. I understand it's difficult for us as Malayali speakers because we tend to stress on every part of the word. It's part of the way we speak our language. Fortunately, in English, we're not. So therefore, this requires a bit of practice. This is where you need to read aloud. But let's get back to some more things to be aware about. Let's recap. I'm sorry, not some more. Let's recap I-T-Y, T-I-O-N, voiced and voiceless sounds. What are some of the phonetic exercises that we can do to improve the way in which we pronounce? Start with minimal pairs. Now, what is a minimal pair? If you may have noticed, I use words like vet and wet. Vet, V-E-T, and wet. If you look at these two words, apart from the first sound, everything else is the same. And that's what you call a minimal pair. In order to distinguish for yourself as an exercise, V, W, vet, wet, sip, zip. Have words in which all the other parts of the word are pronounced in exactly the same way apart from the only sound that you wish to exercise. You want a list of words, go online and it's easy. Put minimal pairs, M-I-N-I-M-A-L, minimal pairs, and put in the sound that you wish to exercise, that you wish to practice. First, that's the first step. Use minimal pairs. Two, it's always good to be aware about the IPA chart. I've given a link below this video. And what it does, this particular site, hopefully, I've used it a lot with some of my students, click on the sound. You can see the chart, click on the sounds, and it tells you the sound, the symbol and the sound it represents. You could use this to study the way in which a word is being pronounced, as you can learn the squiggly lines beside a word. You find that too much of a task, that doesn't matter. Go to Youglish. That's another website or link that I've given you. Youglish shows you how the word is being pronounced in connected speech. And that's a wonderful tool. I believe they use TED Talks. And it's wonderful. Rewind, listen to it. Rewind, listen to it. Again and again and again. Practice it. Use the audio library. Sorry, use the audio diary. Number one, minimal pairs. Two, the phonetic chart or use U English. Three, tongue twisters. I've given you a list below. I've given you, there are plenty of websites that have got really good tongue twisters. ChatGPT could give you a tongue twister catered to your need. Now, the link that I've given you, I believe it's got 500 tongue twisters. And what tongue twisters help you to achieve is not just how you pronounce a letter, a sound. It also allows you to stress on the word depending on the meaning of a sentence. And that is a wonderful gift. How do you know the meaning? The words could be as simple as a can. Just show me the words in there. Read the tongue twisters. Stress on the words and see if it... Do not read it in a go. Stress on certain words. For example, let's look at some that I wish. Now, this is for the word wish. This is the sentence that I'm reading it. I wish to wish the wish you wish to wish. But if you wish, the witch wishes, I won't wish the wish you wish to wish. It's funny. It also allows you to pronounce the w sound. Another shorter one would be, for the p sound. Picky people pick Peter Pan peanut butter. It's the peanut butter picky people pick. P sound. And that brings me to another one. P, t, k sounds. If you find these sounds at the beginning of a word, I want you to aspirate it. See, this is what the tongue twister does. It brings you, it makes you think about these sounds. Remember, p, t, k. If you have these words, these sounds at the beginning of a word, I want you to aspirate it, which means give it a bit of p, p, p. And if you find these sounds in between a word, don't aspirate it, make it flat. Paper, paper. Takes a bit of time, but with practice. As long as you don't aspirate every single consonant or p, t, k, you don't have to say paper. See, that sounds a bit odd. And that's what a tongue twister does. Let's recap. Minimal pairs. Understanding the IPA. If you find that difficult, listening to how a word has been pronounced by going to the Cambridge Dictionary online or looking at Youglish, how the word has been pronounced in connected speech, using tongue twisters. These are all methods in which you can be aware of the pronunciation. Go back to your audio diary. Remember that exercise that I've mentioned. As you talk about your day, I'm sure that there will be certain words that you tend to repeat. That's all right. Are you sure that you have pronounced those words? Are you sure that you've pronounced those words correctly? Listen to yourself. Check the pronunciation of all the words. It doesn't matter how simple it is. Check the pronunciation. Reduce the speed in which you're actually talking, because that helps a lot in pronouncing the word correctly. Check. In the beginning, you will go slow. Remember the training wheels that I talked about in my previous episode? This is the training wheels time. But I'll guarantee you eventually those training wheels will go off. We have come to the end of today's episode. What do I truly think of correct pronunciation? In the end, I want your words to be imbued with clarity, confidence. Let personality seep through every word that you speak. There should be a feeling of deliberateness with every word that comes out of your mouth. And therefore, what you need is to practice with purpose. Imagine you were to give a speech. Wouldn't you practice? Your purpose is right there. And you would practice a lot to sound clear, to sound powerful, to sound confident. Some of the most motivational quotes when it comes to English, I believe, comes from Arundhati Roy. And she said, I'm paraphrasing her, and she said that when we speak English with a Malayali soul, we're only adding to it. We're not taking anything away. And I'm going to end today's episode with this powerful line, again from Arundhati Roy. English, ladies and gentlemen, is mine. That's what I want you to feel. English is mine. I didn't inherit it. I claimed it. And I want each one of you to claim the English language as your own. Ladies and gentlemen, I will see you next episode. Hope you have a wonderful day. Namaskar.
നിങ്ങൾ ഇതുവരെ കേട്ടത് നോ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് നോ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് വിത്ത് റോജി വർഗീസ്. ഈ പരിപാടി നിങ്ങൾക്കായി അവതരിപ്പിച്ചത് കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, മൈൻഡ്ട്രീ നഴ്സിംഗ് സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, ക്ലസ്റ്റർ ഔട്ട്ഫിറ്റ്സ്, ബ്ലോക്ക് ഹൗസ് ബേ, സെഹിയോൺ ടൂർസ് ആൻഡ് ട്രാവൽസ്, ആതിര ഗണേഷ്, നെസ്റ്റ ഇമിഗ്രേഷൻ സർവീസസ്.
നിങ്ങൾക്ക് അനുയോജ്യമായ ഹോം ലോൺ, ഫസ്റ്റ് ഹോം, ഇൻവെസ്റ്റ്മെന്റ്, റീഫിനാൻസ്, റീഫിക്സ്, കൺസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ലോൺ, കൊമേഴ്ഷ്യൽ ലോൺ, കാർ ലോൺ എന്നിവയ്ക്ക് നിങ്ങളുടെ വിശ്വസ്ത സാമ്പത്തിക ഉപദേഷ്ടാക്കൾ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്. 0800 574 7 22. വിശ്വസിക്കാം, വിദഗ്ധരെ.
നിങ്ങളുടെ എല്ലാ യാത്രാ ആവശ്യങ്ങൾക്കും ഹോളിഡേ ബുക്കിംഗ്സിനും വ്യക്തിഗത സഹായം ആസ്വദിക്കൂ. കോൺടാക്ട് സഹിയോൺ ടൂർസ് ആൻഡ് ട്രാവൽസ്. Phone number 0921 84000. ഓരോ യാത്രയും ഒരു അനുഗ്രഹമാണ്. സഹിയോൺ ടൂർസ് ആൻഡ് ട്രാവൽസ്.
ന്യൂസിലൻഡിലോ ഓസ്ട്രേലിയയിലോ നെയ്സ്യൂലി എന്ന സ്വപ്നം യാഥാർത്ഥ്യമാക്കാൻ മൈൻഡ്ട്രീ നഴ്സിംഗ് സൊല്യൂഷൻസ് ഐക്യുഎൻ ഓസ്കെ പരീക്ഷകൾക്ക് ഫേസ് ടു ഫേസ് ട്രെയിനിങ്ങും വിദഗ്ധ മാർഗനിർദ്ദേശവും നൽകി നിങ്ങളുടെ സ്വപ്നം ഞങ്ങൾ നിറവേറ്റുന്നു. മൈൻഡ്ട്രീ നഴ്സിംഗ് സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, ഇന്ത്യ, ന്യൂസിലൻഡ് ആൻഡ് ഓസ്ട്രേലിയ.
ഇന്ത്യൻ വസ്ത്രങ്ങളും സമ്പന്നമായ കേരള പാരമ്പര്യത്തിന്റെ കുത്തുമ്പുള്ളി വസ്ത്രങ്ങളും നേരിട്ട് തിരഞ്ഞെടുക്കാം. താങ്ങാനാവുന്ന വിലകളിൽ സമാനതകളില്ലാത്ത ഗുണനിലവാരത്തോടെ ഉയരട്ടെ നിങ്ങളുടെ സ്റ്റൈൽ ക്ലസ്റ്റർ ഔട്ട്ഫിറ്റ്സിനൊപ്പം.
അല്ല, വിസ കാര്യങ്ങളൊക്കെ സോർട്ട് ഔട്ട് ചെയ്തോ?
ഇല്ല, ഞാൻ ആകെ കൺഫ്യൂസ്ഡ്.
എന്തിന്? നമ്മുടെ സ്വന്തം മലയാളി ഇമിഗ്രേഷൻ അഡ്വൈസർ ആതിര ഗണേഷിനെ വിളിക്കൂ. സ്റ്റുഡന്റ് വിസ മുതൽ റെസിഡൻസി വരെ എല്ലാം ഈസി ആയി ചെയ്തുതരും. 0223684349 നെസ്റ്റ ഇമിഗ്രേഷൻ സർവീസസ്. നെസ്റ്റ, ബെസ്റ്റ.
ഇതോടെ മലയാളം FM 104.6 എന്ന ഇന്നത്തെ പരിപാടികൾ അവസാനിക്കുന്നു. നമ്മൾ പ്രക്ഷേപണം ചെയ്യുന്ന എല്ലാ പരിപാടികളും മലയാളം FM 104.6 എന്ന നമ്മുടെ യൂട്യൂബ് ചാനലിൽ ലഭ്യമാണ്. അടുത്ത പ്രക്ഷേപണം അടുത്ത വെള്ളിയാഴ്ച വൈകുന്നേരം 7:25. അതുവരേക്കും എല്ലാ പ്രേക്ഷകർക്കും നമസ്കാരം പറയുന്നത് സിന്ധു പുന്നൂസ്. മലയാളം FM 104.6 പാട്ടുപാടാം, കൂട്ടുകൂടാം, കാറിലും കേൾക്കാം.
കേരം തിങ്ങും ആവണ ശ്രീലകം, കേരളം മോഹനം, കേരളം മോഹനം, സസ്യശ്യാമള കോമളം, ഞാറ്റുവേല പാട്ടുയരും പുണ്യാലയം, കേരളം ശ്രീലകം, കേരളം മോഹനം, കേരം തിങ്ങും ആവണ ശ്രീലകം.